Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hour of Power. Joe Diesel here, and I believe Jesse is on. Let's bring him up. Jesse, you there?
Hey, I'm here. How's it going?
Great. How you doing? Did you have a good week?
I had a pretty good week. I talked to God this week. He told me to build a giant ark, and I asked him if it was because of flood. He just wanted to see how stupid I was.
Right. All right, well, thank you for that. Well, we're talking about the movie Noah this week. We get to see the movie Noah. Now, this movie generated lots and lots of controversy. Would you say?
I'd say that, yeah. Controversy is a good way to describe it, yes.
Well, we'll get into some of that later. I think a good place to really start is, what did we think of the movie? Just as the movie itself, not really comparing it to anything else yet, just as a movie.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was pretty darn stupid myself, but it was pretty moronic, but... What did you think?
I thought the same thing. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. As you saw, of everybody in the theater, I was the first one to get up once it started rolling.
Yeah, I know. I thought you wanted to get out of there before you were trampled or something. But
yeah, and you mentioned something about looking at the audience after the movie ended and the credits came up and the lights came up. What did you say you saw in their faces?
They all looked pretty perplexed and confused by what was going on. Because the movie doesn't really follow the storyline that was set forth by the Bible. But they looked like they'd just been smacked in the face really hard and they were wondering why.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way too. Did you?
Yeah, it was pretty... Of course, you know, warned for the spoilers here, but once the rock people showed up, I was like, what the? That's what I really thought. I was just smacked in the face. I'm like, why are there big, giant, white rock creatures walking around?
But now, we are going to give away spoilers, so if you're really intent on seeing this movie and you don't want to have any spoilers, then stop listening and listen to us in archive, but we're going to give away spoilers.
Yeah.
I think we haven't given enough spoilers away yet to spoil it for anybody. But let me say this, too. I'm not really a Darren Aronofsky fan. I don't really watch his movies, and I think I've only seen one all the way through, and it was because it was the only one of his I've ever seen advertised that I was kind of interested in besides Noah, and that's The Wrestler. Are you a Darren Aronofsky fan at all? Have you seen any of his other movies?
I've seen all of his movies.
Really? All of them?
Yeah, I've seen all of them. I saw Pi, which is not that... I didn't like that much. It's just a guy doing that for 2 hours. But his movies are always kind of perplexingly pretentious in a way. Because a lot of what happens in them, you're like, oh, he's just doing that because it's artistic. That doesn't seem like that's what the character would do at all.
Yeah, then you got to wonder, it's like, is he doing that because he thinks it's artistic?
Yeah.
I thought the same thing. What is that one? The Fountain? Is that the right title of that? I remember
that
when that came out, that was being advertised, and I was looking at that going, wow, that looks like a bunch of pretentious crap to me.
I
mentioned that to somebody who was a fan of his, and I didn't know they were a fan of his, and they'd asked me if I was going to go see it, and I said no. Well, why not? And I told them that, and they just give me this look like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, it just seems like it was uppity for the sake of being uppity, pretentious for the sake of it. I mean, I don't know. Is he an auteur?
Yeah.
Is that what he is?
Yeah, the one movie that I thought was really super pinched was that Fountain. But his Requiem for a Dream was pretty darn pretentious, too.
Yeah, see, I didn't want to see that either. Now, who's in that one?
Well, one of the actresses from the movie from Noah, Jennifer Connelly's in it. That one dude who's a singer, Jared Leto, and Marlon Wayans. I mean, there's some interesting stuff in that movie. Jennifer Connelly's, you know, shows all her goods in it, so I mean, that's good for that. So,
well, hey,
but,
hey, that was artistic. Okay,
that was artistic. It was pretentious, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, that is not... he did not do that just so you could ogle Jennifer Connelly. That was art.
Yeah. Well, no, he didn't ogle... it was... her sister explained that she was a pretty hard up for the old craft fair. So... it was...
you even watched Black Swan.
I like Black Swan now. Black Swan was okay.
You like that?
It was alright, because it felt a lot more like a horror movie than a...
Well, she's a dancer, and she turns into a swan?
No, she goes crazy, basically. She
turns into a swan.
She doesn't ever turn into a swan. Never turns into a swan.
She's pulling swan
that
feathers out of her back, isn't she?
Well, that's because she's a ballet for... the white swan, and then the white swan, there's the counterpoint black swan. And she wants to, and I guess it's every ballerina's dream to play the white swan.
Yeah.
So, or I don't know.
I couldn't watch that either. I couldn't bring myself to watch that either. I mean, I usually try to give everybody, you know, I try to give everybody's films a try, you know. But I did watch The Wrestler, and I sort of liked that. That was okay.
Which one? Oh, The Wrestler. But you also like Mickey Rourke's character. Mickey Rourke's character in the movie is just a total dumbass.
Yeah, he's not really that likable. I mean, they kept advertising it as the resurrection of Mickey Rourke. And I'm sitting there going, well, what happened to him? He was in that Sin City a couple years before that one, and I thought he was great in that.
Yeah.
But wasn't that his resurrection?
Yeah. I mean, I understand he was a guy of flaws. He was trying to be a better person, but it wasn't working for him because he kept messing up, doing the stupidest things.
I mean, Mickey Rourke's good in it, but, I mean, it's just okay.
He looks like Dog the Bounty Hunter in that movie.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
He certainly did.
I don't know.
All right.
Fan. I'll say I'm not a fan of him. Not a fan of Darren Aronofsky at all. He's just... just don't like him that much.
So neither one of us are really fans, but we were intrigued enough by Noah to watch it. And obviously, we watched it, and neither one of us liked it that much. So let's just get into a little bit about why we didn't like it. There's a lot... in this movie to me that just doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, there is a lot. There's a lot, because I didn't understand why he couldn't use real animals. I mean, I don't mean that as in... because all the animals are CGI. They are CGI animals. But they're not real animals. There's no real bears in there or anything like that. Or I guess he made up his own animals and put them in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we got to say, I read a brief interview with him about that, and he said he was always fascinated by the story of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
He was always wanted to make this movie, was wanting to make this movie for the past 16 years, but he didn't want to make a movie with a giraffe looking over the rail of a boat. So he had to make up his own animals. Like, well, then just don't shoot a shot of a giraffe looking over the side of the boat. What is the matter with you? I mean, do you remember the first animal we actually see in that movie? Do you remember that?
I think the first real animal, the first animal movie looked like something from Riddick. It looked like those little cats from Riddick.
Yeah, and it's got scales on it.
Yeah.
And it was being... what's that?
Well, there is an old animal in it, though. That dove was real. There are actual doves and actual crows. He had a dozen crows in it.
Yeah, we do got to call shenanigans on him for that. There are shots of real animals.
Yeah.
And he does actually use real animals. I didn't see the anatomy of birds change that much.
Right. The birds pretty much stay the same. I did love the scene, though, that how they explained how all the animals were well-behaved on the Ark. It's because they drugged them all. So they
he drugged them all.
See, that's funny, too.
He doesn't explain why, how they drug them all. It's just... Okay, let's just do the beginning there where we find out about this, I don't know what this is, some mineral, some element that everybody's mining. Because that's the other thing, too. They're mining the earth, and the world looks like some kind of a cross between Mad Max and what else? When all the just these apocalypse type movies, because I actually come across this site where there's like pipes, and it looked like some kind of a industrial building, right? You remember that scene?
Well, I think you're kind of something bad. Noah, Mad Max. I would say Noah looks like Solar Babies, the old '80s film with pictures. They kind of looked like that because it was in the water, and they was. For some reason, in the whole time, I guess they didn't have water until the floods happened.
Exactly. There's no water anywhere, and there's no forest anywhere. There's no trees anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like they're trying to say that the entire world has been mined of minerals and trees and everything and all this other stuff. But in the very beginning, the men, they're running around and they're wanting to mine that stuff, and they kill Noah's dad, who has a snake skin. You remember that?
Yeah, I mean, they're being chased by those scavengers.
What's that?
In the beginning of that, they fought in the woods, and those scavengers start chasing them. Oh, wow, this is like, it had such a feel for a post-apocalyptic a webcam movie that, you know, and the way they were dressed, too, they were dressed like, you know, in a some and stuff.
They were dressed like people.
Yeah.
Like in modern outfits.
It almost fit the mood that the way the movie was shot and the way that they were dressed. I almost wish that Russell Crowe just would have built a spaceship. You know what I mean? His favorite arc. It's like, oh, my gosh. What spaceship? What spaceship? Now he's going to go to... Yeah, I go to... But,
yeah.
Yeah, the,
It's pretty horrible how they, didn't seem to be a Bumblebee film at all. Like, it was set in, like, Joel's time or anything like that. It really felt like it was set in the, like, super future, where, the world had been just barren and, dead.
Yeah, and Emma Watson is quoted as saying, this movie could be set at any time.
No.
What is she talking about, any time?
It can't be really set in New York in 1947, can it?
Well, according to her, it can.
No.
According to her, it can. But, you get to the look of the film. And there was, now, the other thing, Darren Aronofsky, and we'll go into this a little bit more later because I got a few questions that I want to get your take on. But he has said, and this is a lot of people's problem with the movie, that this is the, let me see if I bring up the quote here. I don't want to misquote him.
Oh, no.
He's an auteur, so he might get upset with me. Darren Aronofsky calls Noah the least biblical film ever made. Well, I got to call shenanigans on him right now for that.
Well, yeah.
And you know why, right?
But he talks to God throughout the entire film.
Yeah, well, he never talks to God, and they never say God.
Creator.
But they do say creator. So that right there, they're acknowledging that there was a force greater than them that created them.
Yeah.
And you have lots of references in there. You got the references to the Garden of Eden. You got the, lots of references to Cain and Abel. Lots of references to the fall. You know, Adam and Eve are actually in the movie, and they're big white beings of light.
Yeah.
So when we lived in the garden, everybody, I don't know if we knew this, but according to Darren Aronofsky, when we lived in the Garden of Eden, we were big, glowing, running around.
Maybe that's why we couldn't see that we were naked, because we were glowing so much, or looking down our junk, like, I can't see anything, that it's a big, glowing light.
That's probably why then when we ate the apple, we weren't glowing light anymore.
It's like, I got junk.
Well, the light's not covering me anymore. Yeah. But so, and this kind of struck me, too, when I was watching the movie, because Darren Aronofsky is a atheist, self-pronounced atheist. Mm-hmm. Now, in the movie, you have characters constantly saying, God doesn't talk to me. And they don't say, they say creator. I'm sorry.
Yeah, creator.
The creator doesn't talk to me. Well, then there's that shot of Ray Winstone. I think he did a great job in that movie.
Yeah.
I think he was the best person, actor in the movie, did the best mm-hmm. acting job in the movie. You got that shot of him, and he's saying, well, the creator doesn't talk. Why doesn't the creator answer me? And he's, like, looking up going, answer me, creator.
Yeah.
And you got to kind of wonder, like, why did he put that in that movie if he's wanting this to be the least biblical movie ever made? Well, he's got a lot of stuff in there that, you know, the story isn't, the basic gist of the story is there. Noah builds an ark.
Right.
And collects in. The basic, thing is there.
I want to correct you there. You said Noah builds an ark. Noah don't build an ark.
Yeah, we didn't get to that part yet. You did mention the rock people. So these rock people that he was talking about, we'll get to the ark building. The rock people is, the rock people are, what are they called? They're fallen angels in this movie.
They're the watchers.
They're the watchers. And they go down there, and they fall to earth, and in the movie they get covered in mud and filth and rock formation, so they're stuck. They can't do anything. They can't go back to heaven.
Yeah.
God was the creator, sorry.
Yeah,
I keep saying that. The creator is punishing them for going down there and wanting to help man.
Yeah.
So, you got the rock people. Now, they're supposed to be helping, I don't know, they go into a lot of these descendants and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't remember exactly which descendant they're supposed to be helping in this movie.
It's very confusing. It's very...
It does. It gets, oh, okay, now who begat who in the movie?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're reading it, you can just look at it and go, oh. But in the movie, there's no timeline. There's no key there. But so anyway, you got the rock people. They're covered in rock. They get betrayed by the people, and people start killing them. I don't know why. That's not really explained.
Well, how? Because they're rocks.
And they're big, giant rock dudes. I mean, they're like 7, 8, 10 feet tall. Rock people. So they just go and start killing them. You'd think that'd be an asset to your army.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a big, giant rock lord. Ha, ha, ha. But no. So they kill them. So Noah convinces one of them that the creator talked to him. He talked to him in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to build this ark.
Right.
And and what you're saying is exactly right. Noah doesn't build anything.
No.
Those rock dudes say they're going to help him because they want to try to get back to the creator.
Mm-hmm.
And he lets them build everything.
Yeah.
And that gets funny. That gets that's just really funny, too. You got that moment where they have no tree, so how are they supposed to build this ark?
All right.
Okay, so we'll get into that a little bit. Noah goes to talk to his grandfather, Methuselah, who just sits up in a cave. And I don't know what Methuselah really did. He lived thousands of years and all that stuff.
And he was crazy, too.
And he was nuts.
Yeah,
probably because he lived up in that cave.
Berries! Bring me berries!
Yeah, and somebody mentions berries, and that's all he talks about the rest of the movie is berries. You gotta bring me some berries.
Yeah.
But, so he gives him a seed that is supposedly from the Garden of Eden. I don't know how he smuggled that out or how they smuggled out that seed.
Or why he would keep it so long.
Yeah, while he's sitting there, like, my gosh, we need some forest. I got a seed. I got a seed. I can have some berries, but no. So Noah decides, after he has a vision in a dream that the creator spoke to him, that's what he needs to do. He needs to build the ark. So he goes out there, plants it, and then this magical forest appears everywhere.
Yeah.
Just grows everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it just reminds me of the Bill Cosby sketch we keep referencing in this, right? When Bill Cosby If you haven't heard that sketch, that is hilarious. But
better than the movie.
Yeah, that is a lot better than the movie. Bill Cosby,
Noah
is really good. But Bill Cosby says his Noah got two males and he was in a hurry and it started to rain and God tells him he needs to take that animal back. Mm-hmm. And Bill Cosby says, why don't you just change one of them? And God tells Bill Cosby's Noah, oh, come on, you know I don't work that way. I can't do that. You need to go do this right. But anyway, you know, I just thought about that in the movie. It's like, well, he just made this forest. Why don't you just build him an ark there? He got a little seed, just make that ark there. But just a lot of silly things like that. And we didn't even get to the interpretation stuff yet of that vision.
The walk creatures is the first thing where you go, oh, yeah, this isn't going to be right at all. Cause once you see them, it's like, yeah, because before that, it's just Noah living, you know, Noah's dad gets killed by the descendants of Cain.
That character that he plays is named Tubal Cain.
Yeah, Ray Woodstone.
He's actually mentioned here in the Bible, but they didn't use him, right? They just used his name.
Right. That's a cool name.
It is a cool name. Sure. And that character actually is in the Bible, but he doesn't do the things that they say he did.
Yeah.
So they actually did look at stuff and pull stuff out. They just didn't put it in the right place.
But he kills Noah's dad because Noah's dad and Noah live on this land that's rich, and I don't remember what that mineral they want.
I don't even remember them naming that mineral, but my mind was going to Avatar.
Yeah.
Unobtainium.
Yeah. All I know is that he hit the ground and some gas popped out. He went, yes, this is rich in Kosarai or
blah,
whatever.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And then Noah's dad's like, hey, this is my land. He's like, not anymore, punk. He stabs him.
In the face.
Which, that will lead to another question I have for you, Betsy. That'll lead to a week later. But I mean, then he goes into Noah being an adult. Then it goes into them describing the... that happens more, doesn't it? Like,
a lot of times in this movie, it jumps ahead 2 years, 4 years, and in some cases 10 years in time, and doesn't tell you it's jumped forward in time.
Yeah, the only way you know is by the actual look of the character.
You go, oh, okay.
Well, they've gone ahead of time a little bit. That's good. Right.
Yeah, well, the kids are a little bit older. All right. It must be a few years later.
Those kids are pretty much... The only one who's really existent in the film, who has any real kind of, who's characterized in any real way, is Ham.
Yeah.
Because Shim, all he's there to do is bop Emma Watson. You know, that's not a bad gig to have, but Ham is the only one that has any real characterization. And his whole characterization is like, I want to get laid.
Yeah, exactly. That's all he wants, and Noah won't let him. Won't go get him a wife because he says everybody's weak. Every.
Why is his dad want one chick for it? Really?
Yeah. No, I mean in the story, in the Bible, they all have wives.
Yeah, because they're all old enough to have wives.
Yeah, I mean Noah's like 500 years old when this whole
thing
starts.
How many children did he actually have?
Oh, I don't.
Because you think about it.
You got this whole thing right here. You got the whole...
Yeah.
Right there. I got pulled up. So the descendants of Noah's... I mean, they go into the descendants of Noah's sons and everything.
Because you think that he's 500 years old. He's probably fathered a whole lot of children. And those are the bastards he used to help build that ark.
I don't know. It doesn't say who helped him build the ark in there. I mean, I got to say here... my problems with the movie, I mean, if you go and read the story of Noah in the Bible, it's not that long.
No.
And it's really not that detailed. It just says that Noah did what God asked.
Yeah.
And it even says Noah was a righteous man. Noah walked with God. Noah was chosen for that reason. He ain't picked for that reason in the movie because they never really show him talk to the Creator.
But he's the only one who really believes in the Creator.
He's the only one that's shown to. It seemed like the other guys wanted to, but they just didn't have any faith.
Right. They were, he isn't talking to me, then he doesn't exist.
Yeah, they were of that mindset.
Yeah.
To get back there, my problems are, it isn't that Aronofsky was filling things in by, like, filling some certain things in. It's the way he filled them in was just ridiculous.
Yeah, because I think one of the things that he said that he wanted to do is that he wanted to capture what Noah's mindset was. during while he was building the ark. Which, his entire mindset in the movie is, oh, build me this damn ark. He has no other mindset. Like, he's obsessed with just building an ark.
Yeah.
To the point, where, I mean, there's that one point in the movie where he's like, well, hands are, I'm having to get a, you know, a lady. So he goes down to the camp where the LV, I guess we'll call them the sinners are living. And he's like, damn, no way am I getting myself one of these women. But they're crazy.
Everybody there, the crate is insane and nuts, and they're ripping animals apart.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're cannibals or not, but.
And you know, here's the thing, though. If you watch that movie, the reason those people are all crazy is probably because they have salmonella poisoning. But they don't cook any of those animals they eat.
Yeah, they weren't cooking. They were just tearing them apart and just eating them right there.
Yeah. So they're all probably pretty sick.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, let's. I don't know. It's almost hard to decide where do you go next.
Yeah.
But there's just so much.
There's a lot wrong with it.
It's so wrong. Let's talk about Noah's mindset.
Right.
Let's talk about his interpretation of what the creator wanted.
Which, here's another problem with it. At the beginning of the movie, we see how God has talked to him through his dream. And you see it like, hey, yeah, I can read that too. Actually, that's what. But when he comes to the one conclusion, where he's like, I best kill me some babies.
Exactly. He goes to his grandfather Methuselah to help him interpret the dream.
And he drugs him.
he drugged him, and when he tells him, Methuselah thought that the world was going to burn.
Right.
So he says, no, it was water. I saw water, and then they start going about water, and he goes, water does this, water, but water is also cleansing.
Right.
So that means God wants to clean everything. He didn't say God. So I keep doing it. I'm creator. Creator wants to clean everything. And then you're getting to that point where Noah decides that God wants to kill all the people and save all the animals. Where we don't know where he drew that conclusion from.
They don't show you how he did it.
Because, you never see another dream of his where the creator speaks to him. You never see any of that. It's just he decides to kill that. And he even goes so far as, let's get to this. So this is one moment where I think the entire theater groaned when Methuselah helped, or what was Emma Watson's character's name?
I have no clue.
He helped her get, because she was barren.
And he touched her.
So they're all freaking out. So he touches her and makes her unbarren. And that makes her immediately want to be filled with child. So she runs out into the woods, grabs her man that she's going to marry, and they do it right in the woods.
Jim.
They don't see anything. It's just, you know that that's, so there's no graphic thing there in that respect.
Right.
But Noah finds out, he is super upset.
Yeah.
So what does Noah say?
Noah says that if it's a boy, he's going to let the boy live, but he'll be the last man. But if it's a girl, he has to kill the girl, because then they would be able to reproduce with the girl, because I guess one of the sons is going to pop that kid.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
At all, because Noah tells them right before that, he says, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
You're gonna die first. You're going to bury them. And you're going to be the last person.
Yeah.
And then he finds that out, and he says, well, you're going to have a kid. I'm going to have to stab it in the face.
Yeah. Well, if it's a girl,
I'm going to stab it in the face, which makes no sense at all. Who's gonna procreate with that kid?
If it's a boy, all the boy's going to do is bury Jeffers. Well, Jeffers was supposed to be the last
kid. Yeah, because a girl can't bury people. I don't know why, but anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are coming up here against a break here, so we'll come right back and get into some of the controversies about the movie here. Hi there. Noah here, and I need your help. I've got a problem. What's your problem, you ask? Well, I've got too much gold, and I want to give it to you. I'll admit it. It's a good problem to have. How do you get some of that gold? Well, all you have to do is bring me a male and a female animal of the same species to Noah's Gold for Pets Emporium. Why do I want your animals? Well, you nosy Nelly, that's between me and God. You don't have animals? Well, we will take resinous wood for gold. You better hurry up, though. These offers will not last forever. Once I have one pair of every animal and enough resinous wood, I'm building me and my family an ark 300 cubits by 50 cubits by 30 cubits. If you love your pet, you'll get down here first, because I'm only taking one pair of every animal. If it's raining on the day you bring your animal, forget it. You waited too long, and it's time to start treading water. All right, we're back. So we talked quite a bit about a lot of the problems we thought the movie had. I've been thinking about this since we decided to do this show and looking at some of the controversies. And I've got a few questions about it.
Go ahead.
And so I'll ask you. Now, Darren Aronofsky is making a movie based on a holy book that billions of people put their faith in and believe.
Right.
So, to me, that says there's a built-in audience.
Right.
So, why would you make that and not want to play up to that audience?
Well, I guess I have to answer this in kind of in a defense of Darren Aronofsky, even though I don't like the movie.
Yeah.
He wasn't very interested in the biblical aspects of that movie. He was more interested in why would a guy go through the pains and motions of building this ark to save every animal on the earth. Because to him, it was more about the story, but not about the religious aspect of it. Which kind of, like I said, if he went to a whole entire different direction with it, where it's like he built a spaceship and the spaceship went into space.
Yeah, anyway. If he's so interested in that, why didn't he just make that? Why take this story that has a built-in audience, that has been proven that there is an audience for it, and they will go see it.
They will go in droves.
And they will go see it. I mean, The Passion recently is a great example of that.
Not only The Passion, but...
I mean, I know there's a lot more examples, but...
Every damn Tyler Perry movie you've made is basically...
Well, I'm talking about specifically... movies that are based on stories straight out of the Bible,
or
any other
example,
holy book.
There's a new religious movie out called God's Not Dead, which is about the philosophical debate of whether God is dead or not. And that's been doing gangbusters in very limited release, because that's what those people are seeing that movie.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a market for it. People will see it. So why wouldn't he want to do that? And you got to wonder also, if it's all about the dollars for him.
Mm-hmm. Which it's not, I don't think.
It's not, because he thinks he's an auteur.
Yeah.
And he thinks he makes the movie. He doesn't. This is what I think of auteurs sometimes. They think they make the movie, and it's not a team effort. It's not a group effort.
Right.
And that's what he is. But I think the other part of that is the studio was the ones that were freaking out and going, we got this built-in audience, and you're alienating. They had those test screenings.
Right.
Because they tried to recut it and go, we got to fix this. They wanted the disclaimer on there. He didn't want to do any of that. He doesn't care about test screenings.
Right.
He even says, let me see if I can find that quote right away. Yeah, that's that one, that quote there.
Yeah, you need that one.
Yeah, I'm not going to use that quote. This is, he doesn't care about test screening. I can't find it right away right here. I did have it up, but I think I closed that window. But anyway, he said the basic thing of what he said, what I was looking for, was he doesn't care about test screenings. He doesn't care about test scores. Now, test screenings are, as we know, what studios do. They take a movie out before it's released, have a test audience come in and ask them questions about it.
Mm-hmm.
They say, what did you like about it? What didn't you like about it? And they use that to see, well, can we go in and do anything about that?
Because they want to know if they want to make a profit.
Yeah, because obviously they do. Now, Paramount... they put up a lot of money for this movie. They even upped the budget for him for this movie. And he's mad that they put a little disclaimer on it.
I can't see how he's mad about that. For one, they put up a lot of money for that movie, I just said.
They did. They even raised the budget.
I'm not a fan of test scores and test screenings either. It's such a small group of people.
Yes.
And I think that, I believe in the altar aspect of filmmaking, where that one man has this vision and he wants people to see that vision.
Yeah.
And I agree with that, it's also a good thing, but he's just the guy who leads the group and the thing, I think that one of the big things that I had to ask is, I can understand why he wanted to change it to make it more what he wanted to make it, but why he couldn't have done both. why not reach every market we possibly can by trying to, we'll make Noah, but we'll make Noah action pack, where he fights people and stabs them in the chest and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think he could have done that. I think he could have appealed more to the core audience that was going to see it to begin with, without, I don't know if the right term is sell out.
Yeah, I mean, because that's what those rock creatures feel like. Those rock creatures feel like, I'll put these rock creatures in because I can do CGI now. These CGI, it's so Transformers, those stupid rocks are.
Yeah, they do. They do look like Transformers and rocks are.
And it's just like, okay, that seems like a money grab. Like, okay, well, I'll put rocks in it. So people go, I want to see a big rock creature.
Yeah.
But in the Bible, it's actually described that the more vicious animals are actually set out from the earth at first while they're building it so they can defend it.
Yeah.
Which, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, they don't do any of that interesting stuff.
No.
He doesn't do any of that. He just wanted to do that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think my next question was, and I think I did the two questions there at the same time, the studio was the one that wanted to appeal to the audience more than we did
based
on these interviews. Because, you get a lot of people saying, well, Hollywood's only up for the money and Hollywood's only up for that.
Yeah.
They are to a certain degree. But also, they don't want to alienate their core audience.
Yeah, I mean, when movies like this come out, they don't go, oh, that Aaron Rossi, I'm going to get him. They don't go after Paramount. Paramount is going to be their main
Paramount's the distributor.
So they know Aaron Rossi doesn't have any money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, I think my next question is, a lot of people are upset about this movie. And, I can kind of see why on the one hand. And the other hand, I kind of can't.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, if you're a Christian, or Jew, or everybody that follows that book,
and
you see that, in my mind, you should be excited that they're making a big-budget, epic movie based on the Bible, or based on a Bible story. Mm-hmm. And
so they don't do it anymore.
Because, it doesn't happen a lot, not like it used to. I mean, you used to have, like, King of Kings, and Her, The Greatest Story Ever Told, or Tinker. You used to have a lot. You don't get it a lot anymore. And I know a lot of people are worried that, well, they'll think that's what Noah is. Well, for me, if I see that, I'm going to want to go read the story and see, well, what really happened? What really is in there? What else is there? Were there really rock people helping Noah do it?
Right.
I mean, to me, to say that you shouldn't see the movie just because it took some liberties, it is a little silly.
Right.
And I can understand people's reservations about that. And it reminded me of a conversation I had with a fellow I knew about when The Prince of Egypt came out.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a children's cartoon.
Right.
But he told me, I'm not going to see that movie because it's biblically in error. And I said, what? It is biblically in error and I will not watch it.
Is that why he didn't go see Evan Almighty? Because
I don't know. And I just looked at it because I thought that was an odd thing to say because it was a kid's movie. And I pointed that out to him. I said, you understand that The Prince of Egypt is a kid's movie, don't you? We're not going to put all that violence in a kid's movie.
Yeah.
And I said this to him at the time, and this has been a number of years since that movie came out. I still think this to this day. Don't you think that it's good to have that story out there to the mainstream so that, they're at least exposed to it, and then when they look at it, they can go, I wonder what really happened. What book is that based on? Where is that based from? And then go and read it.
I agree with that because
I think a lot of people actually do that. I don't think people are so stupid that they're just going to watch it and go,
oh, my God, that's Noah.
I think that's selling the audience really short to say, well, people are going to do it, and that's what they're going to do. The studios do that to us all the time. They did it with Blade Runner.
Right.
They forced that narration on there because they thought the people wouldn't understand it. In essence, they're stupid. Now, what's your take on that?
I have to agree with that a little bit because after seeing a movie, there are things that I remember from reading the story as a child, because I read the story as a child, of course, and read the actual, so I was like, I don't remember that. Hey, that seems tough. But there are other things that they left out that I'm like, did they do this? Did they do that? I need to go back and look at it and everything like that. The problem is that it isn't going to appeal to people who read the Bible. People who read the Bible are probably going to be a little bit offended by that. But it's really that stupid. Not that they're going to be offended because he has rock creatures in it or anything like that or anything that. But they're going to just be offended by it because the movie is stupid. It makes Noah look like a freaking moron.
Yeah, it kind of does.
So, I mean, they'll be more offended by that.
I mean, I read the Bible, but I wasn't offended.
No, I don't, I'm not. you know, I'm not as religious as you are. I mean, I have my own faith and all that, but after watching that movie, it's just that it made, he was trying to make it look like it was more realistic. Like, this is the way, what happened if this, you know, like, real life, this is how, you know, they lived back then, this would be like, well, but he made it more silly.
Yeah.
And more preposterous than the actual, because, you know, when you look at the Bible story, you think, okay, that's kind of preposterous. But if you have faith, you know, you think, well, maybe that was possible back then, because back then God was a little bit more chatty with the old book back then.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of, like, the whole thing with Cain and Abel and how Cain and Abel, once Cain killed Abel, that started war.
Mm-hmm.
War was started because Cain killed Abel.
Now, he does a little montage of different types of soldiers when Cain kills Abel, which I thought was a little silly.
Yeah, he shows the montage is all Cain, because Cain turns into all the soldiers,
all
then
the
Abel
soldiers.
Kills, turns into all the soldiers, and he dies.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah.
Now, and the other thing that they said is that all the people who are not Noah, and Noah's people, I guess, are called descendants of Cain because they were all descendants of Cain. Because Cain was sent east, and somehow when Cain went east, he found a chick out there. And this lady that he found, him and her produced the whole entire population together. So the descendants of Cain are all pretty much inbred. Right?
Yeah.
According to the opening of the movie, that Adam and Eve begat Cain, Abel, and Seth. And Seth is Noah's father. He's a great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Yeah, he is a relative. He's not his...
He's a descendant of Seth.
Yeah.
And Seth was the forgotten child who was okay.
Yeah.
But... Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. Basically, Seth and Cain brought upon a whole entire world, even though there were no women.
Yeah, now that's based on that's according to this movie.
Right, according to the movie. There were no other women besides Seth and Cain. I mean, there's just Seth Cain.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I thought was silly, and I think another reason people were like, who are religious, like, oh, come on, is that Emma Watson does give birth to a girl. She gives birth to two girls.
Yeah.
And I guess it's Noah's mind goes, well, for him, there's one for Jeffrey. Jesus Christ.
I got to stab them both in the face.
And
we're saying that, and that's how he's going to do it in the movie. He's going to stab him in the face.
He's going to stab him in the face, yeah. And one thing, his mindset, he's thinking, well, that's okay that Jeffrey's going to have sex with his niece.
Yeah, that's kind of disturbing that he was actually thinking that.
Yeah. So they'll be able to populate, because Jeffrey's going to be like, man, I want to meet a lady. They're the only ones around.
Yeah.
So everybody gets a turn, I guess. So, I mean, I can see religious people being offended, but I think that the thing is that he wasn't making a biblical effort. He was making a, I want to stop climate change.
Oh, you caught that too.
I think that it was more of an environmental message. Where it's like, oh, we're destroying the earth, so we all deserve to die, and all that should be left are dogs and cats, basically.
Yeah, and it's funny you bring that up, because that's, there it is, right here in this article. He says, and often says, that Noah is the first environmentalist.
Yeah, no, no.
Okay, so he took this story and changed a lot, kept the basic gist of it, and then used it for his own, I don't know, is that a political cause? What is that?
I would say that. I would say, I mean, political, environmental, yes. I mean, because being in the environment, we all have to live in it. I mean, it's more than...
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I mean by that is some people take that to an extreme to where they're not actually helping the environment.
Right.
That's what I mean when I say that.
I don't think he was an environmentalist, because if God would have said to Noah in that movie, you know what, just get on the boat. You and your kid get on the boat, screw the animals. You don't think Noah's going to go, you know, but I better save a couple of animals.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, get on the boat, family. They're vegetarians anyway. None of them ate meat. The only ones who ate meat in the movie.
That's right, because they were...
Because even when he kills that, he finds that the animal that's like a big cat.
He finds
like,
that
oh,
animal with scales. It has scales.
It has scales. He goes, oh, it's going to die. So instead of... And him says, why did they kill that? And his father says, because they're going to eat it. Why do they want to eat it? And one of his father just goes, because they're delicious.
Yeah. So
I
those guys were hunting that animal. They were going to eat it. They weren't, like, torturing it, being cruel to it. They were going to eat it.
Right. They're going to eat that
and,
animal.
And he fought off those animals, those guys.
Because they were going to eat that animal.
Did he kill those guys, too?
He killed those guys.
Did he kill those guys?
Yeah.
And was... It was self-defense. They were upset. Of course, they were upset because he took their kill.
Yeah, they were hungry.
I thought that was funny, too, because later on when he tells his wife that we all have to die, mm-hmm. we all are wicked, and he sort of chastises her because she would do anything to protect her kids, even kill.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you just did that, like, I don't know what that was, 60 minutes ago?
Yeah.
According to the runtime of the movie.
There's an interesting scene in the opening because he says, she goes, yeah, I had to kill those guys. Shim and Ham, they kind of fought. And she goes, how do they take it? He goes, well, Ham took a little bit of a life. And I thought that was going to turn into something where Ham's like stabbing people and stuff, like, you know. The weird thing is, like, they're vegetarians. All they eat is berries. But they live in a wasteland where there's no water. And it's all desert. What the hell are they growing to eat?
I don't know. They must have been eating grass. It doesn't really say what they
eat. There was no grass.
In that movie. There was grass. It wasn't good grass.
The only grass I saw in the movies when they went to go see Methuselah.
Yeah, there was grass on Methuselah's mouth.
But there was no, I mean, it was basically, it looked like a lake bed that had been dried out.
Yeah.
And there was no water in it whatsoever. But yes, so, not only is it an environmental cause, like, oh, we need to save, you know, stuff in this, but it was also, you should stop eating meat. Meat's bad for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's all those people who are like, oh, I won't eat meat unless it's organically bred. Every piece of meat in that movie was organically bred.
Yeah.
They weren't mass producing crap.
Yeah, they had no GMOs there.
Yeah. So, I found that odd. I was like, oh, that seems like an obvious choice. Because then, I mean, no one in the Bible, they don't say, no, I didn't eat no meat. No one would chow down from, because in the Bible, they say that God gave you those animals so you could chow down on them. They're there for you to eat.
As we're talking about this, I would love to see this movie done up by the MST3K crew.
It's a parody of that movie.
It is right.
Oh, yeah.
It is right. I mean, from the Rock people appearing, it's Paramount distributed it. Paramount also distributed Star Trek V, and William Shatner got screwed out of his Rock people. He wanted in that.
Man.
That's where they are.
But they're not even good-looking rock creatures, too. I mean, they're, like, really dumb-looking.
Yeah, let's talk about how they get freed.
Oh, yeah.
Because, Noah has them build the ark. We talked about that. They build the ark. Noah doesn't do it. He stands there at this wood bench looking like he's doing stuff. He's not doing anything.
He's the architect.
He's just standing there looking at it. And these guys are building the ark. They build the whole thing.
I'm sure he yelled at them
so
when he gets it wrong.
when Ray Rinstone says, we're going to come and take this ark now, he has the Rock people, they're all, like, chained up, holding up. They hold up this chain-link fence-type thing.
They can't get hurt.
To try and keep them from getting through. Well, these guys kill the Rock people.
Right.
They stab them and pry open their rockness.
And let's go the angel inside.
And the angel is inside and goes up back to God. And it was funny, too, because one of the Rock guys asked for forgiveness. You remember that? Please forgive me, Creator. And, he goes up there, so you kind of wonder, and it's not explained in the movie. You just kind of have to guess.
Yeah.
Do those Rock guys get to go, is God the Creator, bringing the Rock people back because they've redeemed themselves?
Right.
Or is the only thing they had to do is pry the rock off of them?
But here's another question, too. One of the Rock creatures pulls his chest open. And
he does.
Up.
He does,
and
yeah.
It's like, well, he could have done that. Like,
so that's why you wonder, and the movie doesn't explain it. When they pry the rock open, do they get sucked up to heaven because they've redeemed themselves?
But here,
or did all they have to do from the beginning is rip the rock off of them?
Which makes also the whole thing that Mr. Tubal Cain says, where he goes, oh, God, that is fucking... They're giant rock creatures with angels in them.
What more proof do you need?
It's like, you know, I can understand if they no longer exist. They're talking to them.
Yeah, it's not like, yeah, you're right. It's not like it's a myth or a legend from years ago.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, they're giant rock creatures. Why do you not believe in God, or the Creator, I'm sorry. Why do you not believe in the Creator when there are angels who are like, you know what? I created these giant angels that look at these rock creatures. That's how I communicate with you, baby. Maybe? Maybe?
Yeah. So, maybe I wouldn't want to communicate with them anymore either.
So, I think the other thing is, like, the reason that the Watchers were thrown out is because after they ate the apple, God was like, well, so you don't eat that apple. I'm done with you. Well, cool.
Yeah, you got your free will. Go live.
All right, so I'm going to just be, you know, do my thing. And they're like, well, we're going to go help you. But they screwed me over. I hope the guys who screwed me over. That's beautiful. Get out.
You need to let them learn. This is what tough love is, you stupid rock people.
Yeah.
Stupid Watchers. This is tough love. They need tough love. They need to learn and grow themselves.
Yeah. And I always love that because it's like, and they're like, oh, I don't have the creator. Well, what, you want the creator to run your life for you? That just doesn't piss you off. That just means you're a slave to the creator to do whatever you want. But it's just such an odd movie. Because some of the things that are actually in the Bible are like, wow. Woo! Back up there, buddy.
There is stuff like that in there.
Because the sin that, I guess you could say that, the whole thing is that when Noah actually finds land, and you think, well, now the world should be a perfect place because Noah's righteous.
He plants vines and gets drunk.
Right. And then he tries to have sex with one of his son's wives.
Well, I couldn't find that in there.
Well, it's in there, I swear.
I did look for it. I couldn't find it.
So, and that means that's his sin.
The whole, the issue was, Noah got drunk. I'm going to paraphrase this, but I do have this pulled up here. It says, Noah got drunk and was lying inside his tent nude.
Right.
And his sons, one of his sons saw him naked inside the tent, and the other two sons covered him up. But it didn't say that he went over there to do his son's wife. But that made Noah mad. Well, I don't know. I'm sure it's in someone.
That led to the fact that Noah was a sinner. And he...
I don't know. He was very mad that he got seen naked. Now, that is in the movie. He does get drunk. The first thing
naked.
He does. And he is naked, but he's face down on the beach.
Right. Where you can't see his junk.
He's drunk on the beach. But and it's an odd thing in the movie because you see him sitting there drunk. He's upset because he thinks he failed. Because he didn't kill all the people, so he thinks he failed. So he's sitting there drinking. There's one shot of him drinking, he's drinking. Then the next shot, they cut back, and all of a sudden he's naked, lying down on the beach.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying we needed to see him stripped down.
Right.
It just was odd to me, but that's the way he cut it.
I didn't think he got drunk because he thought he failed. I think he got drunk because he thought, I'm going to kill me some babies. I was that crazy.
Yeah.
Because you never see the dream where he's like, the dream where it says, hey, Noah, kill me some babies.
Yeah,
you know. Right. But, I mean, that's the more interesting aspect, too. It's like, okay, so there's still that sin. Sin still exists. Even though Noah is mostly righteous, he's still a sinner in a way.
Yeah.
So he's not perfect either.
Yeah.
And it kind of, you know, then it's like, well, we're going to build a new world, but we're still not going to be more perfect than the last world. But, and there's also in the Bible where God promises Noah that whenever he does this again, where he's like, wiping the wiping his hands of the whole mess, he won't do it through a flood again.
Yeah.
And that's not in there. That's a nice little, like, no, you know what? All is forgiven. Not going to kill you all again with a flood.
Yeah, none of that's in there. There's only the one dream where he learns to build the ark.
Now, that dream, if you look at the dream, all it suggests to him is that he saw an ark, he's up, oh, build me an ark. Doesn't know how to build an ark. Has no clue how to build an ark.
Yeah, he didn't give him the dimensions.
But again, he didn't build the ark.
That's right. Maybe the Watchers knew the dimensions.
But he had a plan. He had a blueprint.
He did have a blueprint, didn't he? That's what we're going to build. This.
That resident wood, you can only use that kind of wood. I was told, certainly, that kind of wood.
Yep.
Which is also known as gopher wood.
Yep.
So all those trees, his thing, he's an environmentalist. Well, what's the first thing he does when he goes up the tree? He starts tearing the damn things down.
Yeah, he rips all the trees down. Builds an ark.
Yeah. It's like, oh, well, that's not very friendly.
You finally got a forest after all these years with no forests.
And you think that's like once the forest grew up, they'd be like, hey, you know, things are different now. The forest, you know, the now. The ocean's
now. No, it just made everybody crazy.
It just made everybody more mad. Like, oh, wow, there's a forest? What?
Yeah, so when you watch this movie, it's like this mix of Waterworld, Mad Max, and Lord of the Rings.
But those are good movies.
Yeah.
Even Waterworld.
Even Waterworld's coming up to the end of the show, since we're talking about good movies, I can easily say that Noah is the worst movie I've seen this year. And I did not like Devil's Due at all. Devil's Due is a better movie than Noah.
Well, three reasons. One, Devil's Due didn't cost $1 billion.
No.
Two, at least it had an aesthetic.
Yeah, it did.
And three, at least there was something interesting.
Yeah, it was. It did have...
Like the whole idea of like multiple antichrists.
Yeah, they picked up that angle. That was...
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Noah has half-baked thoughts. Like, oh, we have angels that are rock creatures.
All right.
All right, well, cool. Which, even in the Bible, they mentioned Enoch.
Yeah.
The book of Enoch and the whole war and heaven and like that. Why not have Nephilim?
And yeah, they're not in there. There's interesting stuff that he could have used that he decided not to use.
He just made a big rock creature. I think the because if we're going through his metaphor that Noah is an environmentalist, that makes the angels part of the earth.
Because they're covered in mud and rock.
The giant rock creature from Galaxy Quest was far more cooler than giant rock creatures in Noah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So we're coming up to the very end. So. Next week, obviously, is the opening of, I don't know, is that the most anticipated movie of the year so far?
Captain America,
at least
yeah.
For us.
Yeah.
Captain America, so we will be talking about Captain America.
A good movie, I'm hoping.
Hopefully, yeah, it looks really good. It is the first Marvel movie of the year.
Yes.
So that'll be interesting. It's the second Captain America movie.
Right.
The third appearance as Captain America for Chris Evans, and the first Captain America movie after The Avengers, so it'll be really interesting to see how that does and how that ends up. So if you got to go with your final thoughts here on Noah here, we're getting up to the very, very end here.
I will say this. We talked for a good hour without any problem about Noah. So sometimes when something's so bad and awful, it almost makes it worth seeing because it's at least something you can talk about for a while.
Yeah.
Like Man of Steel, we talked more about Man of Steel last summer than any other movie, even though we hated Man of Steel. I think it's because we were so passionate about our hate for it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Superman. We both grew up with Superman. We grew up with a love of the character and the TV show and the Christopher Reeve movies. I don't know. Maybe it's sort of similar with Noah. I know it's not exactly the same thing because Superman isn't the Bible.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of people are passionate about that. You make a movie somebody loves, story that people love. They want it to be right.
Right. I mean,
they want it to be gotten right.
But kind of like Noah isn't Superman. He lived 500 years.
He lived longer than 500 years. He was only 500 years when he was told to build the ark. He was like, I don't have time to look that up, but Noah lived 350 years after the flood. So he lived 950 years.
See, here's the thing, though. He's 500 years old. That's retirement time. That's time to lay back. He's building an ark.
He didn't build that ark. Well, not that
movie. He built a 300 cubic feet long ark.
Yeah.
When he's 500 long. Years old. Could you see one of the sons who's like, let's say only 40, goes, oh, man, I am so tired. But look at Dad over there. I mean, he's 500 years old. Got that big rock on his back. You know?
Yeah. Well, all right. So we're coming right here at the very, very end of I would say if you're curious about the movie, go see it for yourself. See what you think.
Or wait for video.
Or wait for video. If you don't want to see it, if you think it's not going to be right, you're not going to like it anyway, then don't see it. You know, chance on it. We checked it out. It looked halfway interesting to us, but we did not like it at all. But as always, I am a strong supporter of seeing things for yourself and forming your own opinion. So, anyway, we're looking forward to Captain America. We had a lot of fun doing this show. We hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you next week.